think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. Larger than that. Four names. Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Four names associated with the axis of... I welcome Dan Henniger. He's the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He's also the columnist of Wonderland. Asking the question in particular about Ukraine, but Dan names the four bad actors, the four malign presences, and asks what is to be done, especially what is to be done now that we're witnessing 4 weeks, now 5 weeks, of the depredations in Ukraine. Dan, has something changed? Because those four names were here a year ago, 6 months ago, even on January 1st, and America was okay with that. We were managing it. And now... what's changed, Dan? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. I guess the nature of the threat somehow has changed with Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine. Clearly, the scales have fallen from the eyes of the world's leaders, especially in Europe, especially in Germany, of all places, Chancellor Olaf Scholz deciding that Germany has to increase its defense spending. All this is something none of us would have predicted. And that is a good thing. But what I argue in the column this week is that these assaults on the free world just didn't start 4 weeks ago in Ukraine, that Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, all of them for years have been using all the modern tools of state power, and that includes nuclear capability, to try to diminish the democratic world. We know that it's on the record. The Chinese have routinely used intel to steal data about our weapon systems from our defense contractors, from the Pentagon, the National Security Agency, our national laboratories like Los Alamos, ransomware committed against large utility companies in the United States and hundreds of smaller companies by Russian-sponsored gangs. Iran using its the Revolutionary Guard against our allies in the Middle East and against American soldiers, indeed, stationed in the Middle East. And of course, Kim Jong-un just fired off another ballistic missile of indeterminate size, but nonetheless an ICBM capable of ultimately reaching the United States. So what I was arguing here is that the scales may have fallen from the eyes over Putin and Ukraine, but let us not delude ourselves. The free world has four up and running full-time adversaries whose job is to take down the democratic world. And we try to manage that threat, as the saying goes. They see it as a war. They are in war and they are actively engaged in it. And the question to be raised is, whether our leaders are going to respond not merely to this terrible, horrific invasion of Ukraine, but the worldwide threat from these four authoritarian countries who see the free world as a threat to their systems and are indeed trying to take us down, just as Vladimir Putin has bombarded Mariupol.
Dan, is the Russian attack part of a landscape of threat? In other words, does this link to the depredations on Xinjiang against the Uyghurs and to the crushing of independence in Hong Kong? Does this relate to the Ayatollah using surrogates like the Houthis or the Syrians as troops to batter Israel, troops to batter Saudi Arabia? Is that one large war, Dan, or are we isolating them correctly as saying we can manage this with these tools, we can manage this with these tools? How do we see it?
Well, it's a significant challenge, to be sure. I mean, U.S. military doctrine most recently has been that we were no longer had the resources to fight two wars in Europe and the Pacific simultaneously. So we had to concentrate on one or one and a half. And that's a real challenge. There's no question about it. But the fact that we have pulled back, you know, like the current Biden defense budget is pulling back on investment in hard power, like the size of the Army or the Marines. It's called disinvesting to invest in future weapon systems. But another phrase for that would be robbing Peter to pay Paul. And our adversaries in those four countries, heavens, that they, no one follows U.S. defense spending and national security policy than those four. And they can read when we are stepping back. And if we're stepping back like that in terms of putting resources in to deter them, it gives them an opportunity to step forward. And surely Xi Jinping did that in Hong Kong. The world was shocked about that, but did very little. And, you know, he has been on the brink of taking Taiwan. These routine, extraordinary overflights by the military jets that China engages in Taiwan. And Iran, you know, trying to get itself the ability to develop a nuclear weapon. And I just described what Kim Jong-un is doing. They push the edge of the envelope, and they try to see if it's going to crack. And Putin, interestingly, pushed way into Ukraine. And the fascinating thing is that the Western world, as much as it is disinvested in its militaries, has pushed back very, very hard. The question is whether it's going to be adequate to hit Mr. Putin with a defeat in Ukraine. But the response has been something that I do not think our four adversaries expected. And certainly Xi Jinping, given the support he's given for Vladimir Putin, he did not expect NATO to react the way it did to that invasion.
The American people, do they recognize that something has changed, Dan, or are they still watching to see what happens next in Ukraine?
I think they've recognized that something's changed. It's interesting, the most recent polls show like 56% of respondents say Mr. Biden is not doing enough in Ukraine, which is a higher number than I would have guessed. We have been led to believe that the American people were pulling back, but I think the scales have fallen from their eyes too, as well. They see what has happened to the Ukrainians. They see the extraordinary bombardment of their cities, and it's real. And I think the American people, probably in their wisdom, have concluded that the United States is simply going to have to do more to prepare itself against these attacks. And again, the other ones I mentioned, John, the cyber, the ransomware, the fact that companies have given no opportunity other than to be told by the government, I'm sorry, you got to pay up for this ransomware. People know about Xi Jinping. They know about North Korea. And I think Ukraine has just kind of tipped the American mind towards the conclusion, I'm sorry, we're going to have to do something to resist this.
Early on in the conflict, Liz Truss, the foreign minister of the United Kingdom, said very bluntly in Parliament, Putin must lose. Do the American people believe that? Does the Biden administration evidence that, Dan? We have about a minute.
I don't think the Biden administration evidences it yet. I do think the American people probably do think that Putin, after all he's done, and now the fact that he's back on his heels and the military, the army there seems disorganized, there is an opportunity to pin a defeat on Putin. But the Biden administration has been a very uncertain trumpet on this point. It's a little hard to figure out quite why they're unwilling to convey to the Ukrainians all the weaponry they need to effectively pin a defeat on Putin at this point. God knows the Ukrainians have earned it. They have not earned a frozen conflict. They have not earned the partition of their country. And one may hope, John, in the coming week or two, that the Biden administration will realize they've got to get on the winning side with the Ukrainians.
Daniel Henniger, Deputy Editor, Editorial Page of The Wall Street Journal. I'm John Mesh.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.